The girl called Dor walked down the court, followed by the Marquis de Carabas. There were 100 other little courts and mews and alleys in London, just like this one, tiny spurs of old time, unchanged for 300 years. Even the smell of piss here was the same as it had been in Pepys's time, 300 years before. There was still an hour until dawn, but the sky was beginning to lighten, turning a stark leaden colour. Strands of mist hung like livid ghosts on the air. The door was roughly boarded up and covered with stained posters for forgotten bands and long-closed night spots. The two of them stopped in front of it, and the Marquis eyed it, all boards and nails and posters, and he appeared unimpressed. But then unimpressed was his default state. "So this is the entrance," he said. She nodded. "One of them." He folded his arms. "Well, say, open sesame or whatever it is that you do." "I don't want to do this," she said. "I'm really not sure that we're doing the right thing." "Very well." He unfolded his arms. "I'll be seeing you then." He turned on his heel and began to walk back the way that they had come. Dor seized his arm. "You'd abandon me?" she asked. "Just like that?" He grinned, without humour. "Certainly. I'm a very busy man. Things to see, people to do."
"Look, hold on."
She let go of his sleeve, bit her lower lip.
"The last time I was here..."
She trailed off.
"The last time you were here, you found your family dead. Well, there you go. You don't have to explain it anymore. If we aren't going in, then our business relationship is at an end."
She looked up at him, her elfin face pale in the pre-dawn light.
"And that's all?"
"I could wish you the best of luck in your future career, but I'm afraid I rather doubt you'll live long enough to have one."
"You're a piece of work, aren't you?"
He said nothing. She walked back toward the door.
"Well," she said, "come on, I'll take us in."
Dor put her left hand on the boarded-up door, and with her right hand she took the Marquis's huge brown hand. Her tiny fingers twined into his larger ones. She closed her eyes. Something whispered and shivered and changed, and the door collapsed into darkness.
The memory was fresh, only a few days old. Dor moved through the house without doors, calling, "I'm home," and "Hello?" She slipped from the anteroom to the dining room, to the library, to the drawing room. No one answered. She moved to another room. The swimming pool was an indoor Victorian structure, constructed of marble and of cast iron. Her father had found it when he was younger, abandoned and about to be demolished, and he had woven it into the fabric of the house without doors. Perhaps in the world outside, in London above, the room had long been destroyed and forgotten. Dor had no idea where any of the rooms of her house were, physically. Her grandfather had constructed the house, taking a room from here, a room from there, all through London, discreet and doorless. Her father had added to it. She walked along the side of the old swimming pool, pleased to be home, puzzled by the absence of her family. And then she looked down. There was someone floating in the water, trailing twin clouds of blood behind him, one from the throat, one from the groin. It was her brother, Arch. His eyes were open wide and sightless. She realized that her mouth was open. She could hear herself screaming.
"That hurt," said the Marquis. He rubbed his forehead hard, twisted his head around on his neck as if he were trying to ease a sudden painful crick.
"Memories," she explained. "They're imprinted in the walls."
He raised an eyebrow. "You could have warned me."
"Ah," she said. "Right."
They were in a huge white room. Every wall was covered with pictures. Each picture was of a different room. The white room contained no doors, no openings of any kind.
"Interesting decor," acknowledged the Marquis.
"This is the entrance hall. We can go from here to any room in the house. They're all linked."
"And where are the other rooms located?"
She shook her head. "I don't know. Miles away, probably. They're scattered all over the underside."
The Marquis had managed to cover the whole room in a series of impatient strides.
"Quite remarkable.
An associative house, every room of which is located somewhere else. So imaginative. Your grandfather was a man of vision, Dor."
"I never knew him." She swallowed, then continued, talking to herself as much as to him. "We should have been safe here. Nobody should have been able to hurt us. Only my family could move around it."
"Let's hope your father's journal gives us some clues," he said. "Where do we start looking?"
Dor shrugged.
"You're certain he kept a journal?"
he pressed. She nodded.
"He used to go into his study and private the links until he'd finished dictating."
"Well, we'll start in the study then."
"But I looked there. I did. I looked there when I was cleaning up the body."
And she began to cry, in low, raging sobs that sounded like they were being tugged from inside her.
"There, there," said the Marquis de Carabas, awkwardly, patting her shoulder, and he added for good measure, "There."
He did not comfort well. Dor's odd-coloured eyes were filled with tears.
Can you just give me a sec? I'll be fine."
He nodded and walked to the far end of the room. When he looked back, she was still standing there, on her own, silhouetted in the white entrance chamber filled with pictures of rooms, and she was hugging herself and shuddering and crying like a little girl.